A week and a half ago, when Iona and I were in Hawaii, our hotel was just about a block from Waikiki Beach. And after I would finish lecturing to the pastors all day, I'd go meet Iona in the room, and we would walk down toward the beach and find a restaurant to go out to eat. And every night in the corner, as we walked down the block, as well as on the corner across the street, there were street preachers. This one with a sign, "Fear God." Some of them were a little stronger. "Judgment is coming. God hates sin." All of these street preachers. Stopped and listened to them just a little bit, but not for very long. One of them, however, had a sign that was different. It said, "Jesus saved." What does that mean? Jesus saves. We're familiar with the Christmas story where the angel tells Joseph, "Mary will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." But what does the word mean? When we look at that word and see its occurrence, and its many times throughout the New Testament, we find that it's translated in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's save. Sometimes it's heal. Sometimes it's rescue, or make whole, or make well. Now, there are other words for healing, but this is one that seems to embrace a lot, and it seems to be used in different ways. It is the primary word for salvation in the New Testament, and yet it's also used for healing and rescuing from danger in all these ways. The Greek word is sozo. Well, today I'd like for us to explore what that might really mean. We're in a series where we're looking at Jesus' relationship to various groups, and today we are looking at Jesus and the sick. And I want to look at four stories in the Gospels that might give us an indication of what this word, "Jesus saves," means. There are four people in the New Testament who have something in common. They all needed some kind of healing, and Jesus used this word in speaking to them. In each case, he told them, "Your faith has sozo, saved or healed you." Bartimaeus, the blind man, the woman with a hemorrhage, the Samaritan leper, and a woman who is simply called a sinful woman who anointed Jesus. Now, as we look at their stories, I'm going to avoid coming to a conclusion at the beginning of the sermon, so we can look at these stories and try to come to a conclusion at the end. So is it okay if instead of translating this word sozo, we'll just use the Greek, not to be erudite or something, but just so we don't prejudice our conclusion as we go through the stories? So we'll just use that word, the Greek word sozo. First person we look at is a blind beggar. Jesus was near Jericho. He was walking along with a big crowd. They made some noise as the crowd went along. And this blind beggar named Bartimaeus heard the noise. He couldn't see. He wondered what was going on, and he asked the people near him, and they said, "Well, Jesus is going by." And at that, he yelled out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, it kind of embarrassed the folks that he was with, and they said, "Shh, be quiet." But he just called out all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. And he said, "Bring this man here." And then he asked what seems like a dumb question. "What do you want?" Now, if you're blind and you're crying out, have mercy on me, what do you want? You want to see again. And the man says that, I want to see again. And Jesus says, go. Your faith has sozo you. It's interesting, though, that that word to see again is a word with a double meaning. It means to recover sight after you have lost it. It also means to look up. After Jesus says this to Bartimaeus, we read that he followed Jesus down the road. But of course, we also find in the book of Acts that the earliest name for the followers of Jesus was followers of the way. And so you could read this story two different ways. You could read the story that the man says, I want to see again. And Jesus heals him, and he walks along behind Jesus on the road. Or you could read it to say, this man wanted to look up. And he encountered Jesus, and then he became a follower of the way of Jesus. So here, does sozo mean to save or to heal? Maybe the answer is yes, and even more. Second story is that of a woman with a hemorrhage. She has been bleeding, flow of blood, for 12 years. Now, this has all kinds of implications in addition to just the fact that she's sick. You see, if you had a flow of blood in that day and age, you were considered unclean. And that meant you could not go in the temple. You could not go into the synagogue. These places of worship, these places where that were supposed to give you the presence of God, turned you away and said, we don't want you around. You are unclean. And you know, many families try to eat their meals in a state of ritual cleanness. She might not have even been able to sit down with her family at the meal table. It's not like she hadn't tried to get well. Here's what Mark says. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. So she had tried. She spent all her money. She had been to the doctor. They couldn't do anything. It's interesting that Luke, who may be a physician, softens this and just says nobody could heal her. Well, this woman gets into the crowd with Jesus. And she thinks maybe she can remain anonymous and just reach out and touch his garment. Why would she think that? Well, apparently that sort of thing happened. Mark tells us in the next chapter that wherever Jesus went, into the villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that he might touch, that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were sozo. So this woman comes up behind Jesus and reaches out and touches. And immediately Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? And the disciples are incredulous. What do you mean, who touched you? You're jostled by crowd all around you. But Jesus says, no, it's different. Somebody touched me. And you can imagine, after 12 years of rejection, what fear and trembling this woman had as she finally said, yeah, I'm the one. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has sozo you. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. It's interesting. Your faith has sozo you. Now go in peace, something she had not known for a long time, and be healed of your disease. So apparently, there are two steps here. She's sozo, and she's healed of her disease. The third person to whom Jesus said this, and there are only four, was a double outcast. First of all, he was a leper. That meant you had to exclude yourself from the village. You had to yell out if people came anywhere near you, unclean. But Jesus is up right in the border area between Samaria and Galilee. Galilee, the Jews, Samaria, the Samaritans. And this man is the only Samaritan in the group. And Samaritans were hated, so he's a double outcast. He's a leper and he's a Samaritan. But these men also apparently have heard about Jesus. And when he comes near the village, they keep their appropriate distance, but they yell out, "Have mercy on us!" And Jesus doesn't even do anything specific. In previous times, he has touched lepers to heal them, but he simply says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And they take off, running to the priest. But this one man, this double outcast, this Samaritan, turns around and comes back. And he praises God, and he falls at Jesus' feet and thanks him. Now Luke says that they were all cleansed. They were all healed. But Jesus says to this man, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has sozoed you." Number four is a woman whose name we don't know. She's just an anonymous woman. And Luke simply says in chapter 7 that she is a sinner, a sinful woman. Luke doesn't say what those sins were. We surmise, let our imaginations run wild, but he doesn't say. It's just that she's a sinner. Was she a worse sinner than the other people around? Well, Jesus does say her sins were many, but probably it's not that she was such a worse sinner, but whatever it was that she had done made people look at her and raise their eyebrows and whisper. It was as if she had shame written all over her, and she felt as if it was right there somehow on her forehead, shame. Jesus goes to a banquet held by a Pharisee. Banquets were often out in the courtyard, kind of in the open. And while they're there reclining at the tables, and they didn't sit as we do, but reclined with their feet off the edge of the couch, this woman comes in and creates something of a scandal. She has an alabaster box of oil, and she pours it on Jesus' feet, and she wipes his feet with her hair, and she kisses his feet, and oh, do the eyebrows start raising, and the whispering starts coming. If Jesus were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman this is. And Jesus takes the occasion to do what he so often did. He tells a story. He says, "Simon, there was a creditor, and two people owed him money. One owed him 50, and one owed him 500. And he forgave them both. Which one do you think is the most grateful and loves him more?" And Simon says, "Well, I suppose the one who was forgiven more." And Jesus says, "You got it. That's right." And then he tells this woman that her sins are forgiven. But then he says more. He says, "Your faith has sozoed you. Go in peace." So as we look at these four stories, what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? And what does it mean to be sozo. Well, often we think of faith as simply belief that Jesus will do what we ask him to do. If we're sick, that he will heal us. But faith seems to be something much deeper here. You notice that for the Samaritan leper, the real faith comes after he's been healed in his gratitude and his praise. Same with the sinful woman. With her, there is no physical ailment. Faith seems to be a commitment to the way of Jesus, a sense of the grace that is revealed in Jesus, and an appreciation, a willingness to follow Jesus in the way, to commit to him and his way. Faith is not just believing God will do what we want, but trusting him whatever he does. And then Jesus says, your faith has sozo you. Well, clearly this doesn't just mean physical healing, because in the case of the sinful woman, we don't know of any physical healing. Does it mean save? Well, I don't think that would be the whole story by any means, if we are thinking about saving as meaning ultimately being saved when Jesus comes. No, there's something very present. There's a present reality about this. So it's more than just healing, and it's more than ultimate salvation. It seems to refer to a wholeness, a transformed life that has encountered Jesus, and by committing to Jesus' way, has been changed. So that now, instead of feeling shame, we can look up. Now, instead of alienation and hostility, we can treat others with the same graciousness that God has shown us. Now we can be fair instead of selfish. Now we find a new wholeness of being. And it goes far beyond just the physical, because I know of people who are disabled, but who are very whole. They know that peace and joy that comes from an encounter with Jesus and experiencing his grace and following his way. So how do we translate sozo? I'm not sure. Maybe make whole is the best we can do, but we need to think of a whole picture. It's not just healing. It's not just salvation. It is this whole transformation that comes through the encounter with Jesus. We are all broken in one way or another. We are all wounded. We all have scars. And Jesus is the answer. Tony Campolo tells a story. He was preaching in South Africa at a conference, and one of the other speakers at the conference was a faith healer. And he chided Campolo a little bit and asked if he did healing. And Campolo admitted, he said, well, I pray for the sick, but I must admit I've never seen anything terribly spectacular happen. And this faith healer said, you're missing much of what ministry is by not healing. So he was feeling a little guilty about it, and he was preaching up in Oregon and decided that at the end of the service he would have a call and invite people to come forward if they needed healing. And he would pray with them and anoint them with oil. About 30 people came, and he took about an hour praying with each one. He was surprised that many of them, when he asked them what they wanted, it wasn't physical healing, but it was something else. But they were all people who felt in some way broken and in need of healing. 4 days later, he got a phone call. A woman said, last Sunday, After the service, you prayed with my husband and anointed him. I don't know if you remember. He had cancer. And all of a sudden, Campolo says, wow, she said, had cancer. I thought maybe something spectacular has happened. Maybe he used to have cancer, and now he's been healed because of my prayer. And then the bubble burst. She said, yes, he died this morning. And Campolo thought, well, a lot of good my prayer did. And then she said, but I have to tell you what's happened. She said, what a transformation. He's been dying for some time, and he has been bitter about it. He has been angry at God. And as he becomes more and more bitter, he has become nastier to people. His caregivers hate to come because he treats them so poorly. He's alienated his family with his anger and his hostility. But she said something happened. The last 4 days have been the most beautiful days we have experienced in years. He's called those people in and asked for their forgiveness for being so nasty. He's come to terms with God. He's even spent some time singing hymns. She said, we've sat down as a family and we've reminisced and we have laughed and we have just enjoyed life in ways that we have not enjoyed it in such a long time. She said, Tony, he was not cured of his cancer, but he was healed. There is healing in Jesus, whatever our brokenness, whatever our wounds. I think of the old spiritual that takes the words of Jeremiah and applies them to Jesus. Sing along with me where it says congregation on the screen when we come to the second and third choruses.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. There is a balm in Gilead to make
broken and in need of healing. May Jesus be the one who makes the wounded whole We pray in his name, amen.